Accession number 23088, Reel 5.
Pat Wythe, Reel 5.
Yes, I was just about to tell you that, you know, when the Japanese went, so we were still sort of, I think we were still attacking Rangoon, hoping to sort of, we didn't realize the Japanese had gone. The first intimation they had was a notice on the top of Rangoon Jail, which is done in bandages. You've heard about this, perhaps. You haven't. It's because it said, "Jap's gone, extract digit." And, of course, the RAF were flying over, and I knew one of the people who did that notice. I'd met him before when I was doing the occupational therapy. He was a mosquito pilot who had been shot down in Burma, but he made a bad landing or something in Bengal, and that's how I met him. He was in hospital, and I was trying to get him to do some leather work or something. And he was a marvelous character. He was a New Zealander, and he had another one too, who was Australian. He'd also had a crash in a mosquito, and you know they're made of wood, and they tended to their feet get trapped, so they were hurt, you see. But one was called, this one was Cliff Emeny, and his friend was Ewing, his name was, Pete Ewing. And they were both in hospital at the same time. They used to tease me to bits, and they used to pretend to take some work and then pretend they'd done it. And I found out later that Pete was doing it all, because I met Pete by chance in Calcutta, and he told me all about Cliff, who'd been shot down over Burma and put in Rangoon Jail. And in fact, he'd had a very bad time there. But I've read about him in some book, and I've forgotten where it is now. But he worked as a medical orderly when he was there. He helped the doctor. And he was evidently a marvelous chap. Now, I think they were both, they didn't drink. I don't think they smoked. And I think they were both a rather Methodist background, you know. But they were so funny. They, you know, they did laugh. I know I invited them home for tea, you know, from the hospital while they were convalescing. And they came back and they had tea with us. And a sort of meal, you know, a sort of more high tea, I think, which fitted in with the hospital routine. But anyway, he was one of the people who put this message on top of Rangoon Jail. And the RAF sort of took note, and they realized, because of the extract digit, that it wasn't a Japanese plot. You know, that's the sort of thing a soldier would have said. And so they landed. The person who flew over landed and walked back into Rangoon, and all the Japs had gone. You knew all about that. I'm sorry, I'm talking as if I'm talking. I shouldn't talk to you, really, if I'm on the tape. But then what else? Yes, there's one other thing I remember. The Lincolnshire Regiment, when they were in Ramree. I remember that, because they used to be some of them. I used to play cribbage with them. And they were all armed, of course. And I seem to remember they used to pile their guns up at the entrance to the Tokage tent. And there was one particular man who was a corporal, and he'd got the military medal, which of course is a very prestigious thing to have, and more difficult to earn than the military cross even. And they would follow him anywhere. He was an Irishman. And I've forgotten his name, but he was wonderful. And I don't know, I think he would lead them all home when it was time to go home and things like that. He was sort of they thought the world of him. That was the Lincolnshire Regiment. I wonder who he was. I really ought to find out.
Mm. What was your rank at this time? You know, your promotion sort of profile. What?
Well, I was sergeant when I was in Rangoon, but I can't remember when I became a sergeant. It didn't matter very much. If you were in charge of a canteen, you'd be an officer or a possibly a sergeant, as I was. But I was very young, you see. I can't remember when I was made sergeant. We got a little pay, but not a lot. Mm.
And so, with the rank situation, you know, you would have been an NCO, really, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
A sergeant, and your officers.
Oh, we all messed together.
But you all messed together, did you?
Yes, there was no division, you know.
But when you were with the troops,
yes.
Did that matter? Or did you all have to go into the officers' mess? Could you go in, mingle with the other ranks?
I remember going to one of our duties, really, if you were anywhere, where if there were dances, you were expected to go and dance, you see. And I remember going to sergeant's mess. I went to a sergeant's dance once in Rangoon. I'm just remembering that. I had a lovely evening. I went on my own. Normally we went two at a time, but I don't know if none of the others could go. And I think it was the hygiene section. They were the people who had built all these, outside loos and things. But they were so nice. And I had a lovely evening. I stayed there for a bit, you know, and went home. But we used to go to dances.
Hmm. Were you very much in a minority, the women?
Oh, yes.
So did this mean a very hectic evening for you?
Well, it would if there was dancing. I mean, before I joined the WASBs, when I was at home, I used to go to the American dances. There were a lot of airfields around us. And I remember going once to I'm not sure where the airfield was now, but, you know, we knew Americans, and they'd say, would I go to the dance? And I went with somebody, and when I got there, it was a camp of 8,000 men, and there were 8 women turned out to dance, and I had some new shoes bought from Barters. You know Barters? Very strong in India, Barters were at that time, and they were gold with straps. And the next day I had to put elastoplast on every toe. They were high-heeled and they had all these straps, and this was the first time I'd worn them. But I danced every dance, I think. But the Americans used to cut in, you know. They used to, every dance more or less was an excuse me dance. And I remember going to have dinner at Firpo's in Calcutta, which was a great place if you were in Calcutta. At Firpo's, they made beautiful chocolates, and you could go there for tea and have cream cakes and things. Very unusual. If you lived up country in India, you never got that sort of food. And But I went for dinner there, and it was a dinner dance, and these Americans kept on trying to ask me for a dance, because I was a woman sitting there, but I was with a group, you see, and it was difficult. And it took ages. Somebody told me afterwards, what you have to say is, I'd rather not. And they just went away. But until I found out what to do, I was beset by Americans asking me to dance. But I didn't learn that until after I joined the WASBs. An American told me, you should say, I'd rather not. And, you don't give a reason, sort of, I don't like the look of you or whatever. But they would accept that, I'd rather not. Mm-hmm. It might mean I'm with someone special that I'd rather stay with. But that was a polite thing to do.
Was it the done thing, though, when you were sort of in Ranree and other postings, that if there was a social event, you were expected to go and perform, you know, in, dance or...
Yes.
You had an obligation.
Oh, when I was at home in India, there were lots of other ranks dances, and we were, you know, we were expected to go. I mean, all the civilian ladies would go, and their husbands probably, but they needed ladies to dance with, you see. I remember we used to go to Kulti, which was fairly near, and they, for films, and they would probably dance. I don't know if it was separate to other dances, but I remember going there a lot. Which is part of your war duty. They wanted to meet people, particularly English people from home, you see. Hmm.
How did your health hold up, you know, during this time?
Oh, good.
Yes, you know, you were mentioning the bubonic plague and...
Oh, yes.
You'd had malaria earlier. Did you keep well?
I was
well?
Very healthy, yeah.
Would you have had doctors, you know, had it come to it?
RAMC doctors, yeah, yes. The B doctors with all the units we were with, you see. Mm.
And were there other women at the front, you know, apart from Wasbys? Did you ever see any other groups? QAs, for instance. Would they
not usually, no. I think we were ahead of QAs. We weren't actually at the front, you know, only by mistake, like when Emma Pert took the wrong turning or something. But it was one of the jokes there with the British other ranks that they were never close enough to the Japanese not to have a Wasby in between, you know. That I see that comes up. It's in this book, and I've seen it before. Some of them were very far forward, and I think it was Emma Pert who was sort of taking her canteen gaily along somewhere, and someone said, "You'd better not go that way. That's where the Japanese are," you know. But we weren't actually sort of front. We weren't supposed to be anywhere near the front, anybody fighting. But there are people very close behind, you know.
You did go up to gun emplacements, though, didn't you? You were saying.
Oh, well, we would, anti-aircraft things, gun emplacements. Yes. Yes. But not actually the infantry in front, you know.
How about the VIPs? Did you ever meet any of the generals?
Oh, yes. I'm just trying to think if I met. There's a picture of me serving the last cup of tea to General Briggs. But I'm just trying to think. I don't even remember who was the divisional, divisional commander of 26th Div. Uh-huh.
Did you ever see General Slim?
No, I didn't. Not in Burma. No.
You saw him elsewhere, did you?
Well, I remember seeing his wife and daughter. I'm just trying to think whether he was with them up in Shillong, I think.
Hmm. How about the Mountbattens? Did they come out?
No, he was there. He took the victory parade, didn't he? He did, in Rangoon, but I wasn't on that parade, you see, so I didn't see him. I have seen General Slim's son, but afterwards, you know, sometimes he comes to our Burma lunch, and he was at school in Simla when I was at school in Simla. He was at the boys' school. I think it was Bishop Cotton's. Mm. I'm just trying to think about generals. No. I can't really. Oh, Mulmain, I think. Mm. Or was it Pigu? Pigu. No, I can't remember. And I can't remember meeting the famous ones, you know. General Cowan, 17th Indian. Rees was one. I didn't meet him. But, I'm sorry, I can't help you on that one.
How about communication? You know, were you able to receive letters?
Oh, yes. Yes, because I used to get letters from my family and through the field post office. Mm.
And did you have anything like a magazine or newsletter of the Wasbys to keep you in touch? You know, you were saying how isolated you were from each other. You didn't have anything like that.
No, we didn't really have... You know, everything was rather more fluid than, I think. Things changed a lot, you know, when the divisions were moving back into Burma. You know, you didn't have time for those sort of things. If I don't think we would. We'd move a lot and we wouldn't... You know, everything was much more immediate. Hmm.
Did you sometimes have to move at very short notice, did you?
I didn't, no. But I expect some of the others did, particularly those who were in Imphal and Kohima. I have a friend who I was at school with in India, at that first school in the Nilgiri Hills, and I meet her regularly every year. She lives in York. Now, she would be very... I think you would find her very interesting. Hmm.
Were there, you know, with so few women and all these men, did you find there were romances and even marriages in the...
Yes. Now, I remember going to one wedding. There's a picture of it somewhere, I think. Probably in the Wasby book. I remember going to that wedding, and then a friend of mine went back to Calcutta and married there and came back again.
These would have been people they met while they were in, you know,
possibly there, or yes. But you know, you met a lot of people. It was, I think, in those times too. You might get a special... You know, people nowadays have a special boyfriend, don't they? And in those days, you were much more group people. And although I know people did... I'm just trying to think whether they... As I say, one or two I do remember did meet and marry, and they met and married there. But others... They might have met and been very friendly with somebody, but then they would move, they'd be posted, you see, and you wouldn't stay in the same place long either. None of us did. Mm.
Were there also, you know, bearing in mind there were so many of the Wasbys, as you explained earlier, mm-hmm. were married to soldiers and wanted, you know, they were Wasbys because they wanted to do their bit and
live in. Yes.
Were there sort of sad cases of their husbands being killed?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. There's one, I think it's Prue Brewis, I think her husband was killed, and I think she was expecting a child too. But I forget what happened. Her story is probably in the Chinte women.
Also, you were talking about the Burmese, you know, who became Wasbys later on. But what was the, can you remember the attitude towards the Burmese during the war? Could you rely on Burmese people? How were they sort of regarded?
Well, you couldn't, I don't think. Because they had to look after their own interests. And the Japanese came in, and the Japanese were not, could be brutal, yeah. So I think they had to be cautious. But any I met, you know, were charming and really nice. I remember going to Polly's village once. We went out one Sunday and we had a meal with them. I think I can almost remember the meal. It was gorgeous. It was something sort of with a lot of coconut in it, and not too spicy, but very, very tasty. It's lovely. I remember it well.
When you were in Rangoon, you know, at the end of the war, in 19, going into 1946, were there any signs of the independence movement, the Burmese independence movement then?
Yes. Ma Yi's boyfriend, I think, was involved. But he was involved in some sort of politics. But I never found out how. But I know we had a cocktail party in our mess. This time we were on the Prome Road. And he was invited. And that's the only time I met him. But he was at university, I think. And so he'd be...
And the Indians, you know, with your knowledge and connections with India, did you have any experience of the movement for, you know, the Quit India movement,
yes.
For instance?
Yes. Let me think now. I know the trains were very disrupted. It would probably be the summer before I joined the WASBs. My father came up on leave, and I think his journey was disrupted. I mean, the Indians, they were sort of blowing up trains and things. And I remember one incident where a RAF plane crash-landed and the pilot and navigator were murdered. Not near us, you know, but one heard about it. It would be in the paper, probably. And no, there was a lot of... My mother, this was after I'd come home. She was up in Simla during the negotiations, you know. And she used to see them all, Jinnah and Nehru. And she was there at that time.
Did
but that was after the war.
Mm. Did they stay in India after independence?
Now just a minute. I think father came home. No, it was before they came home before it. Oh yes, after independence. Now my sister, by this time, I can tell you something about Calcutta. They had a flat which overlooked one of the main streets in Calcutta. By this time, her husband had been demobbed from the RAF. And they had this flat, and they had this small child, aged about 5. And it was dangerous for Hindus and Muslims to go out. And so Betty had to go and do her own marketing, you know, from the bazaar. And there was a lot of killing going on in Calcutta. And she was a bit upset when the child came and said, "Oh, don't bother to come, Mummy. There are no dead bodies on this one. These trucks going past with all the dead bodies on. This is Calcutta." It really sort of blew up. And they were stopping trains and pulling people off, you know, if there was a wrong car, if they were Hindu, Muslim, whichever.
Mm. Yes, at the end of the war, did you return to India?
I went back to the parents, but as I had been in the... My father should have retired during the war. That's right. He should have retired during the war. He was the right age for retiring. But because of the war, he stayed on. And then they had to wait for a passage to go home. And I was able to get a passage because I'd been in the WASBs. They gave me a troopship passage. And so I came home on my own. Must have been at the beginning of... we're talking 47. It must have been in 47. I landed in that terrible winter when the snow was shoulder high. And I had to get myself up to my aunt and uncle in Cumberland. And I was on the troop ship, the Lancashire, and we docked in Liverpool, and then I got a train to Carlisle, and then I couldn't proceed because the buses weren't running, and that there were no trains on, it was a Sunday or something odd, so I stayed at the County Hotel and then went on the next day. And my uncle had to meet me in Silloth, and I mean, we couldn't drive up to the house because the snow, they lived right on Solway Firth. The snow was sort of shoulder high. So I think we had to walk the last bit anyway.
You came back to Britain, the Britain of austerity.
Very. Oh, it was dreadful.
It must have been quite a change for you.
It was. Mother had knitted me some woolen vests, I remember well. And they had good use. Hand-knitted woolen vests in a lacy pattern. Oh, it was dreadful. And, you know, you could only get a bath really once a week. You know, there was no coal. And I remember then my sister and her husband came home and they decided they didn't want to go back to India, so he resigned from Lloyds Bank. And they bought a guest house in Cornwall. And I went down for 6 months to help them with that. That must have been 48 or... Yes. And then I decided to go to London and seek my fortune. And got myself a secretarial job. And but it was austerity. I remember going to try and buy Christmas presents or birthday presents, and there was nothing to buy. When you look at the shops now, they're full of nice little things at all prices. And, you know, it's a joy to go into a shop sometimes these days. No, it was dread. It was awful. I remember going to Berwick Street Market to get stockings, nylon. They were stockings anyway, and you didn't have. You know, they had no coupons. These were black market, Berwick Street Market. That's where we went to get our stockings, and it just was. You know, well, of course, the rationing went on for so long, didn't it? I had joined the WRSC by then, and I was in Hong Kong by the time the rationing ended. It was 1950s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. What inspired you to join the WRSC?
I'm trying to think, but the Berlin Wall, when did the Berlin Wall go up,
I think? 61.
Oh, no. I was.
But are you thinking of the Berlin Blockade, 48?
Yes, I am. Berlin Blockade. And I think, did Korea start then too? Yes.
1950.
Korea. Yeah. But, no, it must have been the Berlin blockade. And I thought, oh, it's going to start up again. I'm going to get in on the ground floor, you see. So I joined the WRSC. And they were then recruiting people for regular commissions. So I was a direct entry, and I joined that way.
And you got a commission?
Yes.
Yes, what was your rank?
Well, I was second lieutenant. Then I did have, I was temporary captain. I was in England for a couple of years, and then I went to Hong Kong.
Was it very different from being in the Wasps?
Oh, yes. I mean, it was military. We were regulars, you know.